Welcome back to the Preacher Podcast. I'm John Mitchell from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, and with us for this series called Meaningful Ministry are Pastor Caleb Kerbis of Asheville, North Carolina, and Pastor Paul Zell of Hendersonville, North Carolina, both serving Living Savior Lutheran Church, a multi-campus congregation there. Also with us today is Professor David Bivens from here at the seminary. So Caleb, Paul, Dave, good to be with you as we talk about Mark chapter 6 today. Caleb, could we go to you first with just a little bit of reminder of what the theme of the week is, how it fits into the series theme a little bit?
Yeah, thanks. The overall series theme being that being meaningful ministry. Today's theme, this upcoming theme, is Jesus models a compassionate shepherd's heart. So of all of the things that are meaningful, it's probably been said and heard by many that before you can tell me what you know, you need to show me that you care. So through the readings today, particularly the one we get to see, we get to see what it means to see our Savior have a compassionate shepherd's heart for the sheep that are lost, and why that is so impactful and important for God's people. Especially when we think about the word of God that aims to cure and comfort hearts that are otherwise lost and distracted and dismayed.
Right. So the compassion is kind of a key word we'll see reflected in the readings for this week. Paul, could you give us a little synopsis of the first and second readings before we get into the gospel for our main discussion today?
First reading is from Jeremiah 23. The Lord speaks through the prophet, woe to the shepherds destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. He threatens to bestow punishment on them for their unfaithful work, and then turns on that and says, I myself will gather the remnant out of my flock, bring them back to their pasture. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them. And then the final statements, the final verses, the days are coming when I will raise up for David, of course, this shepherd king, a king, capital K, who will reign wisely, do what is just and right. His name, by which he will be called the Lord, our righteous Savior. So while through the prophet, the Lord speaks of shepherds unfaithful and those who actually will care and tend the sheep, the passage ends with the great shepherd of the sheep, the King, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Hebrews 13 is similar. The Lord urging the readers of the epistle to remember the leaders who spoke the word of God to you. They keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do as you have confidence and submit to their authority, do this to make their work a joy. But ultimately there too, the reading goes to this blessing from the God of peace who raised from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. May he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. So each of those readings have, you know, shepherds, I suppose, lowercase s, but also the kind of the prevailing idea of the one great shepherd, the king, our righteous Savior, Jesus.
Right, the Jeremiah reading looking forward to his coming, the Hebrews reading kind of looking back at his ministry. Then let's go to Mark chapter 6. And to the Savior himself in action. David, could you get us started? Just highlight whatever points stand out to you in this text that might be helpful to preachers.
Yeah, thank you. It's a neat little text we have here from Mark chapter 6. It's reminding myself that when I was maybe a little bit younger in the ministry, I used to prefer longer texts because I could ensure that I would find something good to talk about. But this short text certainly provides some neat things to think about and to bring out in a sermon. It seems like the business, if you will, of the gospel ministry was going well, was booming. There were a lot of reports to be given. We were told that the disciples were gathering around Christ to report on their ministry efforts and looking for a time to debrief. But the people were wanting to still be tended to. And you see the busyness of ministry on display, something that I think a lot of our pastors can relate to when they are looking for a moment of peace, a moment of rest, and the tasks of ministry continue to beat down their door. So then Jesus offers to take them away to a solitary place, and they did go away to a solitary place, but again, the busyness of ministry followed them around the lake even, and I think that's where you have kind of the key points of this text, where it says that even despite how tired the disciples were, potentially how tired Jesus himself was, he couldn't help but look at the people who were in need, and he exhibited this compassionate heart. As you're looking at it in the Greek, I think a popular word from many of the studies here at the seminary that you see in the New Testament, that splankna comes out. You see the verbal form of that. What is it that struck Jesus? It says he had compassion. He felt his innards move when he was viewing the need that the people had to be tended to be shepherded. And so I think that's a powerful word that you don't want to necessarily overdo in communicating to your people, but it certainly involves a motivation that's different than just looking at the ministry as a business. It's a ministry that is driven by legitimate concern and care for the people that we get to treat and the people that we come into contact with, that it moves us, just like it moved Jesus. His heart was hurting, or his innards were hurting. He wanted to tend to them. I think you see that. And then, of course, the illustration that he gives, they were like sheep without a shepherd. I think we've heard enough about sheep and shepherd throughout scriptures that we have a pretty good idea what that means. It might be kind of a fun exercise to figure out what would be a modern day equivalent to that. What were these people like? Were they students without a teacher? Were they kids without a parent? But they were just in need of something, and Jesus' heart went out to them, of course, to offer them the gospel. So I'll leave it at that for now.
Great. No, thank you for walking us through the text and hitting those highlights. Maybe I could just start with kind of where we often start, and just thinking about law and gospel in this text. How are you approaching it as you preach Mark 6, 30 to 34? What is the sin-caused problem that you're highlighting here? Maybe what aspect of the Savior's work are you pointing to respond to that? Ideas for preachers in that regard? Let's see, Caleb, could we start with you? Just some law gospel thoughts on this text?
Sure. One of the places my attention was drawn immediately was that the gospel is gaining some traction, and Jesus sees all that is going on, but he tells the disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest, because even in the midst of, as Professor Bivens noted before, the whole idea of needing rest can only be found in Jesus. And so it's more the law point then would be something along the lines of something missing. So although that they're finding the success and they're enjoying what they're doing, they still don't necessarily fully realize that even as pastors, as was said, as pastors can identify with the fact of ministry being quite busy, there still is a need to be reminded that we're missing something that can only be found in him. So the law is not necessarily a commission, so to speak, but it's mostly something that's lacking in and of us. And that might also be seen in the people too. That might take a little bit of creativity on the preacher to talk about how busyness nuanced with ministry can lead us to be missing something, and then not to say too much if the preacher was also going to say more about how that's true for people that are chasing after all sorts of things and hopefully coming after Jesus because there's something missing in them too. But that might be worth pursuing, the need for rest that can only be found in him, because we can't find whatever we're after, even if we're in ministry.
Paul, some thoughts?
Real similar, of course, because it's the same text. Being wearied by, worn by responsibilities, various ailments, tasks that are demanding, wearied. So the weary versus rest issue is certainly there. I suppose maybe a different one might be, but I don't know how far you can run with this, is in my weariness, where do I go? And obviously physical weariness has me going to bed and going to set aside time just to be by myself. But spiritual weariness, where do I go? Obviously there are these huge crowds of people that are, they're actually running to where Jesus is. Kind of just an interesting idea, whether the preacher, even though that's describing what these people did, do you make an issue of that? So in one's weariness, to seek out the one shepherd who has compassion for you and can provide what you need, or simply weariness, wearied by. And again, it's not too difficult to kind of fill in the things that can weary anybody. Wearied by, there is rest with or in the presence of your shepherd and in the presence of the one who teaches you many things.
Okay. Yeah. Good thoughts. Thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, I think maybe there's always going to be a tension between work and play or work and rest. And I think that the point of this text isn't necessarily to say resting is wrong and ministry or working yourself to the point of exhaustion is always the right way to go. Jesus is the one who encourages them to get rest. But I do think what's shown and on display here is just how that compassionate heart of Jesus, the heart that is moved by seeing lost people, is what drives his ministry. And so when I think in terms of law, if you really want to drill down on that word to move your innards, I guess I would just ask myself and ask my people, what is it that really moves you? What moves your heart? What moves your innards? What gets you really worked up? And unfortunately, I think the answer would be that we frequently get worked up about things that affect us, not about the things that affect others or seeing others being lost and in need of help. We tend to be mostly compassionate on ourselves, if that's a possible thing, and something to demonstrate that was certainly not what drove Jesus in any of his ministry.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we tended our weariness to turn inward maybe and forget about those, about everybody else, right? And we see something different in Jesus. Paul?
Just to that, so the apostles, you read this text and they're going to, he's planning a vacation with them and they're all excited as they sail to this deserted side of the lake. Those poor guys, they didn't get a vacation. They had more responsibilities. But of course, what you find out is they're actually learning themselves from the one who's giving them the rest that they truly need. Not that you're going to give away what's coming next, but they're going to witness one of the Lord's great compassionate and powerful miracles coming up soon. So it is initially feeling bad for guys that missed out on a vacation, and yet what they too receive as they also get to listen to him teach more is going to provide far greater rest than having a day off by the lake.
Right. Caleb?
And in that vein, isn't there, in this text, doesn't it provide a great opportunity to talk about just to speak very positively again about the ministry in this respect, that there is a difference between rest, as most people think about it, and then how rewarding ministry is. And it's not to say that they're always in competition with one another, or they're mutually exclusive always, but it is to say that they're not the same. And so what you were just talking about, Paul, is very, very helpful in that regard, that it's sometimes I wonder, just in the comments that I hear from my people, if I wince when sometimes they'll say things like, if whether it's youth camps or a lot of things going on, and they feel bad for me, or like, you and Paul, man. And then it's almost like they're worried that there's so much, but we don't think that. It's rewarding. And this is just a real positive thing. And it's, we get rest. We're fine. I mean, concern for their pastors is good. I mean, but I wonder if it's a time to tell people, you know, this is a real rewarding thing, and having concern for rest is good, but look at what the disciples get. And we all, as little shepherds in ministry, get that, and pastors get that, but our people get that too. This is a real positive, wonderful thing to share the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking along the lines of, and this is kind of, I don't know how I would present this in a sermon, but just kind of, it ends up being kind of just this jumbled mess. The times where what we need is rest physically and especially spiritually, you know, I keep on pushing through, and I don't need that time. Then there are times when maybe I just need to have more, be moved by more compassion, and serve. And even though I am tired, just to keep on going. And maybe it's those times I make up excuses and pull back when I should be stepping up. You know, I think our sinful nature, just, you know, wreaks havoc on this whole beautiful arrangement, Jesus has in mind for us of meaningful service, that is tiring but rewarding. And then also time for rest. And, you know, wouldn't things seem to be going haywire? Maybe they are. And maybe my bad choices or mixed up priorities are the cause of that. Dave?
Yeah, I'm just nodding to what you all are saying. I think sometimes we've heard it said that as soon as the Bible becomes, you know, just an academic textbook and not the living, breathing Word of God, you're missing it. And there's a danger, especially for pastors, in that. I think the same thing with the ministry. As soon as the ministry just becomes kind of a formulaic job, that's not where compassion is not involved, then we're missing the bigger picture. What is it that drives our ministry? It's love for people, compassion for people. It's desiring to put their souls at rest through the gospel and with the gospel. And yet the devil's so good at taking the busyness of ministry. And it seems like at those busy times, frequently that's when we leave our compassion behind. And whether it's because we're tired or get cranky or things don't go our way. And so I think this text just recalibrates the conversation a little bit.
Right, right. We mentioned some gospel thoughts already here, but any further that you would like to highlight or that you want to maybe bring out in a sermon? We touched on a couple, but echoing any or reinforcing any? Or would you mainly zero in on the compassion of the Savior here and just really kind of develop that thought, Paul?
I think if the sermon, the solution, the cure for our weariness is the rest that Christ provides, ultimately to get to where the text speaks of him as teaching many things. So, without making that formulaic, you find rest in his word, rest in his word. Well, what's the word? What did he teach? What does he say to you that brings you the rest that you need? What do you learn from him that puts your own mind and heart, refreshes you, so to move from compassion to his teaching, or the compassionate one who teaches us these many good things could be a turn in the sermon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Maybe we could also discuss kind of this issue of application, because what we talked about last week kind of applies here too. When we have texts that speak about the public ministry of the gospel, and here we're looking at Jeremiah, Hebrews 13, especially I'm thinking of this week, speaks of the leaders who spoke the word of God to you. And we could say Mark 6 is speaking of men in training for the public ministry of the gospel, Jesus' disciples. But how can you provide applications from this text for parishioners who are not in the public ministry of the gospel? What strategies might you offer preachers there? Let's just start. Caleb?
I'm going to double down on something Dave said earlier, and I hope this isn't steal what you were going to say again, but just for them to think about the thing that Jesus wants for them, and of all the expectations that they might have for themselves and for their church and for their pastors, that the thing that Jesus that really kind of causes him to have his insides moved towards them is that they would have a shepherd and that they would have a gospel. So in comparison to all of the other expectations and perceived needs of the church and pastors and things like that, Jesus weighs in on the matter here quite heavily, and lets us in on that.
Okay. Good thought. Dave, were you going to Caleb steal your thunder? Or
no, that's good. I think that in terms of applications, I think these words can be directed to all of our members as we try to empower them to look at the world as the place to which they go out with the gospel message and bring the gospel to those who are hurting. It just seems like, and this maybe sounds cliche now, but in this day and age, there are so many people on edge, and it's not hard to find people who are like sheep without a shepherd, but it seems like we frequently just get annoyed by them or mad at them or frustrated by them. And Jesus reminds us once again that the leading emotion is maybe compassion. And I think if we can train our members, just as we hopefully train each other to view them through the gospel, these are people bought by Christ's blood to lead with compassion, then even someone who sees the world differently, has a different politic, et cetera, you're at least, that compassion goes a long way in starting the conversation and reaching out. And so I think that even though we might be tempted to think of our work, pastoral work, as shepherding, the applications for the shepherding that happens through outreach and evangelism works well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great suggestion. Yeah, we are receivers of the compassion of Jesus, and then we can model that same compassion as we look out at the world and the people who need Christ and need spiritual rest. Paul?
Just to add to that, too, the needs, often the demanding needs of family members, people that are part of your circle that can become wearisome. And yet, as we see, you know, the Savior's compassion for us and what he provides to us, what he brings to us, that too equips us for ministering to a spouse that's is dealing with some troubles, or a child, a parent. I guess this is the question was, what are applications where this is put into play in those relationships too?
Right. Yeah. So the different spheres of life, different vocations. Yeah. Are there opportunities there for us to mimic the compassion of Jesus, the compassionate heart of the shepherd? Dave?
Yeah, this just kind of reminds me of a time when serving in the parish and getting together with fellow pastors at a circuit meetings. I had one or two guys that, you know, we kind of said it almost formulaically, but as a good reminder, if we were expressing some challenges or frustrations with parish ministry or particular members or whatnot, we would just frequently close the conversation by reminding each other, just asking the question, do you love your members? Because if that's the reminder, we go through it because we love them, we care for them, we see them and they're in need. So even when they are acting like sheep without a shepherd, even when they are frustrating you to no end, the ministry is not just a business. It's a compassion-led opportunity to show Christ's love. And that was just always kind of our way of signing off, saying, let's get back to it and do ministry for the right reasons and not for the wrong ones.
Right. Yeah. Caleb.
I think earlier when we were talking about potential law points or other explanation points from the text, that they're, that Jesus takes them to have rest, and that these people are looking for Jesus to give because he's the only one that can give them what they're really after, or what they really need, whether they know it or not is not the point. But I just was thinking about it, a hymn that's become a little bit, I think, more familiar. Maybe it's relatively new. It's called "I Run to Christ." I run to Christ when fill in the blank. And I just think that for all the things that people need, and that the compassionate Savior has everything to give them. And so what Jesus was trying to give the disciples and what these people are actually doing is the right thing. So an application for people is that this is ultimately the thing that you need too. Like, first and foremost, we run to Christ. This is, we're sheep spiritually in every way without him. And certainly we're reliant upon him as our shepherd. So.
Yeah, definitely. So we can go to him. So there's that encouragement coming through in the sermon to go to the shepherd and his compassion. That prevailing gospel thought that is there, right? Any suggestions for direction for a sermon or a theme, or how you're going to preach the text, even something at its beginning stages? Any possible ideas? Dave, Mr.
Yeah, I'll just, it's certainly not polished. I was just thinking of the verse that a lot of our conversation has focused on, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd. So Jesus saw more than just the crowd. He saw with the eyes of compassion. So I was just a theme like, do you see what I see? Mm-hmm. Which is, not particularly clever, but something, a phrase that others have used. And what did Jesus see? Do you look on others with Christ-like compassion? Do you see the opportunity to give Christ's rest? I think would be a way to import the, or demonstrate the importance of compassion in the ministries in front of all of us.
Yeah. How does Jesus see me, right? As someone weary, someone he has compassion on too. And then of course, the ultimate compassion that he shows is the good shepherd laying down his life, taking it back again, and assuring us that life is ours. Other ideas, Paul?
Kind of a mix of the what we just heard. I run to Christ to be blessed by his compassionate heart. And then the other one, I haven't got a little rhythm to that yet, but to be blessed by all his teaching. And maybe the second can be lead to that application of your own, what he teaches you to be, what he compels you by his word to become, as far as how you relate to those who are demanding of your time, demanding of your energy. So I really like that. I hadn't thought of that earlier. I run to him, and obviously that's pictured in the text. But very similar, of course, to Jesus saying, come to get some rest to his apostles. But maybe a imagery that we don't always see running to him. There's an eagerness there, a zeal for him and for his word, which of course is well-founded.
Right. 833 is the hymn number, if you want it. I'm sure it's listed in the worship resources on the foundation somewhere. But yeah, fatigue gives way to rest. There's a great, yeah, a lot of beautiful lines in there. So running to Christ, yeah, and then receiving that rest and compassion, showing it to one another. Caleb, any ideas?
With a similar theme, but kind of a different twist. One would be, it's not very polished either, but something like true rest takes some pursuit, or pursue true rest. And there's a twist there with both of the paragraphs. The first one is the disciples, it seems like they're going to find it. And then Jesus has something different in store for them. And then the people come pursuing, so that the disciples are pursuing it, but really the greatest thing that they find is true rest in Jesus style and in his, the circumstances as they play out and in his words. And then of course the people are after it and all that that brings. And that's a little bit different than the disciples, but they find it in a compassionate shepherd. So it would take a little bit of creativity to not be redundant with those two, but I think there's a different type of pursuit in what the disciples, the circumstance of the disciples and the circumstance of the people that could be played out with some further work.
Yeah, thank you. Good suggestion. Any further thoughts or things you had noted, but we didn't have the opportunity to say yet for preachers? If not, that's probably a good place to stop and turn it over to them. Some ideas for taking this out to their people. Modeling the compassion of Jesus that he so freely gives. All right, God bless you, preachers, as you proclaim that peace and rest in the compassionate shepherd.